Previously on 24.
Terrorists are controlling the main terminal of Ontario Airport.
Today, your president and the president of Russia have come together to sign an anti-terrorism alliance. I have hostages. Unless President Logan and President Suvorov make a joint statement repudiating this accord, I will order their execution.
I want this handled! Do you understand? I don't care how you do it. I don't care what it takes. Fix it!
David Palmer called me last night. He said it was a matter of national security. Those were his exact words.
I need to talk to you. It's hardly a matter of national security. But I'm hosting a charity dinner.
Yes, it is.
No, that is a trick.
I know that all phone conversations are recorded. Where do they store those transcripts?
Archive room down the hall.
This is Bill Buchanan. I'm hoping we can resolve this peacefully.
I don't think you understand just how serious we are. If you make any efforts to enter the terminal, you will spend the rest of the day collecting body parts.
Jack, I'm gonna need you to quarterback this thing from inside.
I'm staring straight down on the main concourse. We've got six hostiles wearing explosive vests. We have to assume their orders are to detonate if we try to make a move.
Hey, I got a woman. Diane Huxley says she has info for CTU.
Diane, what's going on? What's wrong?
Derek is inside the terminal.
You!
No. Curtis, they're moving another one of the hostages.
How's Derek?
You have a problem with the terminal.
Jack Bauer is inside, providing recon for CTU's rescue operation.
Hold on one second.
Mr. Bauer! Derek has 5 seconds left to live. Four.
Brash!
Following takes place between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m.
I'm Joel Cerno. I'm the executive producer of 24.
And I'm Michael Losef, the co-executive producer of 24.
And we're first cousins. We are.
Really?
We are first cousins.
That's true.
In fact, we're going to talk more about that than we are going to talk about the show. We grew up in Detroit.
Joel left when I was 10 and he was 7.
And then we didn't see each other for about 25 years. And then when we were in our 30s, we got back together and started writing. It took us 25 years to prepare for what was going to become an important collaboration. Okay, this is the show. These are people getting ready to siege the airport where the bad guys are doing bad things.
When we write these episodes, I think I'm going to get serious for a minute. When we write these episodes, we put action scenes in, but a lot of times they're placeholders for our directors who really choreograph exactly what goes on. And a lot of this action happens after the first or even second or third drafts. So we don't get the credit or the blame.
My wife has a crush on Buresh. She thinks he was one of the hottest terrorists she's ever seen.
Sexy terrorist.
They're going to storm the North Concourse doors on my command. I'm coordinating the operation from in here.
Is there anyone else inside?
No.
Okay, so here we are. In this season, this is episode 4. This is all we started with. We had 4 episodes to start the season, and this is the end of our first, what we call, arc, story arc. So when we started to write this season, we didn't know anything beyond this episode. So this one is going to tie up what started in episode 1. This is sort of the end of this arc, the siege at the airport.
In every season, we always have transitional episodes and where we tie something up, and it's a challenge once we tie it up to start something new because you can't make it too close, otherwise it's too coincidental. But if you have too much of a lag time, then it gets boring between the tying up one thrilling issue and then starting another issue.
Excuse me?
Are you?
What issue are we talking about?
The yellow tie man at the end of the...
Okay.
We went from...
That's why I left Detroit. I just couldn't understand a word he was saying. It took me 25 years. Okay, here's another kid who's going to get killed. CTU was supposed to have raided the... Okay, Greg Itzen came on the show last year at the end of season 4 and did a small arc that we loved so much, we decided to make him a major player this year. This guy is such a wonderful actor. I mean, they all are, but he just took over this presidential part and forced us to come up with a whole storyline for him because he was so interesting to watch.
We've waited patiently for you to renounce okay. this unholy pact with our oppressors.
Let's kill another innocent person.
Didn't we go back and forth between the type of innocent people we wanted to have killed, whether we wanted the guy to be a conservative guy or a kid or...
Yeah, I mean, all these little details that you watch, you don't even see, like, should it be an old woman, a young woman, a woman with a baby? All these things are discussed endlessly, and then you see them in the show, then they're in the background, you barely even notice they happen, but the attention to detail is critical on the show. Tu Chiquilella, who is plays Mike Novick, has been with us from almost the first season. He kind of is woven in and out of the show, and we just love him. We love when we have the opportunity to bring actors back. We're usually killing them, but some of them really seem to have nine lives, and he's one of them.
I know I'm ambitious, that I want this treaty to be the hallmark of my presidency, but I never thought I would sacrifice innocent life.
Mr. President, you are not responsible for the actions of these murderers.
I could postpone this.
Sir?
But give them what they want, maybe nobody else has to die.
Do you really think these people would actually release the hostages? We both know that would never happen. You're doing the only thing you can do.
Oh, yeah. Who cares what you say, traitor? Okay, Jean Smart was cast. She was the first thought we had when we thought about who we could match Greg up with. She was just sort of the perfect combination of sort of, she had the gravitas to be a first lady, and that yet there was something unpredictable about her. And it's funny, Jean came in this year very insecure. She had never really seen the show, and she looked at the season 4 DVD and saw the work that Shored did, who was sort of our diva in residence in season 4, and was just so blown away by her. She thought, how can I follow that act? And I said, you're going to be great. And she was, and has been spectacular all throughout these episodes. I mean, she's really getting a lot of attention for her work here.
What does that mean?
We're not sure what happened.
It's funny, some actors, you write your part and they do the part great and you just write it the way you've written it from day one. Some actors do something different with the part and you end up changing their writing to accommodate what that actor does well. Of course, Greg Ipsen was one of those, and I think Jean Smart falls into that category.
That's a great
too.
Way to put it, Mike. I mean, they...
Does that make up for the first thing I
yeah,
said?
Yeah, I'm sorry I moved from Detroit. I should have never done that.
I'm going to get through this. Just don't say anything right now.
My wife has a crush on the terrorists, and my daughters have a crush on the kid who plays Derek. And I have a crush on Mike.
I'm already taken. I'm sorry.
Shaq Bauer, he's just sitting there. You know he's going to kill somebody soon. You just don't know how.
Gate 12. They won't just do that because I asked them to. They'll need an explanation.
Just take a second out. I always like to each commentary just to like remark about Sean Callery's music. It is probably the biggest secret weapon of the show. I mean, we have seen these shows without music or with temp music that isn't very, you know, right. And the show is not half of what you see here. His music just lifts it.
I met you when you came out for that memory management lecture.
Okay, now I got to tell my Sean Astin story.
All right, because Sean Astin just appeared for the first time.
Sean Astin just appeared for the first time. I'm at my chiropractor's office, Mike Spagnoli in Calabasas, California. And I'm getting my back worked on or whatever. And all of a sudden, he says to me, you know, Sean Astin's here. I said, the guy that played Rudy? The guy who played Sam and Laura? Yeah. He goes, well, great. I'm a fan of his. So I guess he had told Sean the same thing. Well, within 5 minutes, Sean is in my room. I'm getting my back cracked, and he's handing me 15 different phone numbers where I could reach him. He really wants to be on the show. And I thought, you know what? This guy's fantastic. We were thinking about this character, and we just put him in, and he just blew us away. So even in Hollywood, you can get jobs at coffee shops and the chiropractor, nutritionist, raw vegetable store.
Be a big boom in chiropractor business after people hear this
among actors.
DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great.
We haven't heard from him for close to 20 minutes now.
Well, that's interesting.
Needless to say, he played a whole different kind of a leader than any we've ever had in CTU. He's very soft-spoken, and we didn't try to fight that. We went, you know, went with
right. I found it was interesting. He made Jim Morrison part more interesting because now Buchanan has to be subordinate to this kid who is a very kind of quiet bully.
I hate to displace you, but I think I should have a central vantage point.
In other words, move the hell out of your office, Bill. I'm the boss.
Fine.
Yeah, fine.
Well timed, Joel.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, but just so that everyone's clear on the chain of command, I think you should address me as Mr. McGill in front of the others.
Oh.
You know, Lynn, I'd rather not.
If we went back and forth in this, we were going to let him address him as Mr. McGill for a while.
And then we decided to give him a little bit of, you know,
stuff. He had to keep some face, some spine.
I'm on, Bill.
Go ahead, put Jack through.
You're both on with Jack Bauer.
Jack, what happened?
One of the hostiles got too close. I had to end the transmission.
All right, we'll restart the countdown.
Negative, Curtis. We need to scrap the existing plan. Find a new breach point.
Who edited this? Do we know who the editor was on this?
No. 1, 2, 3, 4. Whoever did one, do you know who did one?
Well, yeah. Oh, it must have been Dave Latham.
I see it.
It's very fitting. Yeah, it was Dave Latham. This is our 100th episode. And, you know, in the Hall of Fame of 24 personnel, Dave Latham, this editor, is right near the top with Sean Callery and Kiefer and, you know, Howard and Bob and all the other really great contributors to the show. Obviously, everybody's a great contributor, but some people just, you know, are really on the line for important jobs. And the editing on the show has been a big hallmark of the show. And Dave Latham, who has been with us from the beginning, has really, you know, it's sort of Mike talked about the actors. The editors do set a style and set a rhythm that you almost begin to write toward.
I was just watching this last scene where Jack hardly says anything in the last few seconds. It's really, Kiefer can do so much with his expression and keep you aware of the fact that he is the anchor in this whole scene.
When Jack called and changed the breach point,
right, this show was hard for us because Kiefer wasn't on the move. Kiefer was static for the first half of the show, and we have to then swirl all the activity around him. But like Michael said, he keeps it together, and he keeps the suspense just by his expression and his sort of characterizations.
Mr. Buchanan.
Whenever we have an episode where Jack is in custody or in a hostage or something, when he's trapped in a closet, the first pass is always too light. I think we have to go through and find. It's hard work.
What do you mean the first pass?
The first pass is too light on Jack.
Right.
I think it takes work to find out how to use him.
Keep him proactive.
Yeah, and it's a struggle.
Stop with Mr. Buchanan. We need to get this assault in motion now.
Sit down, Bill.
Oh, man. He's a force. He's Sam.
The rescue operation is back on track.
Thank you.
I must admit, though, I felt a little inappropriate talking about an operation that I didn't personally review. So before you send your men into the terminal, I'd like to see the playbook.
I think this was an additional scene. Almost every episode that we write comes out about three to four minutes short because of the way we have to shoot the episodes to make our air dates. We don't get enough days to shoot. So we're often adding scenes to shows. I think this was an additional scene.
I remember there was a booklet for this episode, so there were several additional scenes.
Yeah. We'll look at the cut. The show will be 4 minutes short. We have to decide what three scenes can we write. They're almost always CTU scenes. We can't go out on location to shoot them. But they're often some of the best scenes we've got.
Does that mean
he's running point instead of you?
Although I hate to do it, let me say something nice about Joel Cerno here. When I'm in the editing room with him, he will throw away scenes with impunity, scenes that he's worked hard on. He forgets who's written them, how much work he's done. He looks at the show like he's never seen it before, and if the scene doesn't work, he just tosses it out. And that sometimes results in a shorter show and more scenes we have to write, but it always results in a much more tense and compact show.
Well, thank you, Mike. I mean, I've always felt the film trumps everything. It have great scenes that you know they were great because you wrote them, and then you look at it on film, and sometimes they just don't play. And you sort of... go on.
The show, what you're seeing in the room should tell you what the show needs, not what you had in your mind.
Right.
And I think a lot of writer-producers will try to force what they had in their mind out, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Well, that's why I say how you learn from the editors. One of the things that Dave Thompson, who was the editor of the pilot and who worked with Mike and I on La Femme Nikita, said, I said, how do you get all this footage? How do you cut a scene? He goes, I sit down and I go, what do I want to see first? And then I bring it up. And I go, now what do I want to see? And then I bring that scene up, as opposed to going, oh, I've got this close-up, that close-up, but this and that. I've got to put it together. He just does it very organically. And then when Mike and I write together, often it's the same way, isn't it, Mike? We'll go, okay, what would be a good scene now?
Yeah, we'll take the outline and we'll start with it, but a lot of times we deviate, which causes trouble for the episode after us, but the show has to work, bottom line.
Right, it's got to feel organic.
Excuse me, sir.
People talk about how complicated and how much story and plot there is in 24, and to a certain degree it's true, but to a certain degree, not a whole lot happens in an hour. There's one thing usually happening in about eight different characters or six different characters or three different stories responding to the same event. And you don't really move that much distance from a story point of view from beginning to end.
Mr. President, shall we?
White people have just informed me that the assault has been delayed.
It's happening now. It will happen before the treaty is signed. Don't worry.
Mr. President.
This segueing into this scene here, this was an example of a real difficulty I think we had. We had two threads that were going on. We had the signing of the treaty, and we had the assault at the airport. And I think it was several passes, writing passes, before we were able to actually get the two threads synchronized well. We had to somehow make sure that they were aware of what was going on.
All the stuff at the airport was a race against the signing of the treaty.
Yeah, and I think it didn't happen. And I think this is one of those things that wasn't well done the first time. I think a lot of our rewrites.
Yeah, we had to write a lot of little scenes to build up, to beef up the signing of the treaty.
Where Mrs. Logan was found in one of the archive rooms.
I don't know anything about that.
By the way, let me give a shout out now to Joseph Hodges, our production designer, who designed what we're calling the Logan's Retreat, which are these sets here.
Just how grave the situation is.
It's truly one of the nicest sets I've ever seen, TV, movies, or anything. It's spectacular. It looks like a Frank Lloyd Wright house. Again, when everybody else in television is trying to make their show look like us, Joseph takes it into another space that it doesn't look like anything else on TV. This is not, you know, cool, modern techno, but very soft and almost retro, but it really feels A, California, B, presidential, and C, original.
You ate it and abetted.
We've just loved the set, and we thought we were only going to shoot it for about 8 or 9 episodes, and we're, you know, shooting episode 20, and we're still there, and nobody feels claustrophobic or like we need to leave.
I think a lot of people don't realize that a lot of this, most of this set is, all this set is built
downstairs from where we are right now.
This is not a house anywhere. It looks like it is when they go outside. But.
Yeah, this set is down in the building where we are now in Chatsworth. The exterior, which is a horse ranch, is about 20 miles from here in a place called Hidden Valley, California. Right here. This is in Hidden Valley, but it matches into the house. Now, these scenes were shot in episode 1. This was shot before this episode was shot. Do you remember that? Because we had to get out there to Hidden Valley to shoot on a certain day. So even before this script was done, we had these scenes to shoot. And we were just lucky that they worked after we were done with all the rewrites of 1, 2, and 3.
A crowning achievement of my presidency. Instead, everybody's waiting to hear what's going to happen at the airport.
He's got so many levels of... expression in the scenes that he plays, that Greg does.
Better looking as you get older. I just keep getting older.
What are you talking about? You're the most beautiful first lady
Pennsylvania Avenue ever since.
Nice fake tender moment. There was actually debate about that line, about that moment. I remember the studio was going, should they be so lovey-dovey with each other in light of everything else that's going on?
The treaty signing is a minute and a half ahead of schedule. Should you call Curtis and let him know he might need to speed up the assault prep?
No, Curtis is moving as fast as it can. A call from me is going
to
make him...
Is this one of the things we added to...
Yes, it is. It's in the... I was just looking at the rewrite pack.
Make sure the assault happens in time to save...
Yeah, so this was to build up the idea of the treaty being signed versus the hostage situation being dealt with.
Nothing. I think he just realizes we're not going to be able to save the hostages.
Oh.
Of just that. And it has to end in act. The scenes that are act-ending scenes have to be act-enders. Means they
little cliffhangers.
Yeah, you know, they have to have a little more juice than the average scene. Before we begin
the treaty signing. And again, this is a scene that was shot well before we started shooting the episode. This was shot when we were shooting the first episode.
Have already taken innocent life in an attempt to stop this historic...
I don't know, do you feel, Mike, when we're outdoors and it's bright that it's jarring because our show is so dark and inside and warehouses and...
Well, I kind of like it. I like the sun.
Yeah.
Joel, you know, you just like to be locked up in a room. Just face it, in a dark room.
Hey,
I've always been that way.
I moved to California. He stayed in Detroit.
I understand. We're pushing as hard as we can. In the meantime, is there anything you can do on your end? Can you stall things? Can you slow down the ceremony?
Bill, the entire world is watching this online.
This is another one of those.
Didn't we add this too?
Yeah, I think we did add this because the problem was the signing was going too fast in... It didn't time well
with the hostage situation.
Right.
So we had to like go away from the hostage situation and just beef up the ramp up to the signing.
Like, I don't know what all these people are talking about before the signing, but we ended up writing small snippets of speeches that presumably they would make before signing. For me, I just go sign the paper and leave. You know, yeah. I've got things to do.
That's how you do it.
Terrorism around the world.
It looks like President Logan is going through with the signing. He said he's not going to...
Grant Wynne Davies, wonderful Toronto-based actor who moved to California, came in and did this part of Nathanson.
Rescue attempt will save the day.
And you're sure you can fend off that assault?
As soon as the CTU agents come through the entry point that Jack Bauer fed to them, they'll all be killed. One of the president's aides will then walk up to the podium and whisper into his ear that there'll be no rescue, that his signature on the treaty... be the death warrant of the hostages. That
will stop him, actually. My wife thought that was really sexy. Signing the death warrant of hostages.
Every one of my men is committed to doing what needs to be done today.
And by the way, where can I find a nice Armani suit?
We need 10 more ambulances at the airport before we launch. Right.
I didn't know we were allowed to do our MST 3000.
That's what,
We do that a lot in the editing room. We make fun of our shows.
I need to call you back.
I got something to do.
Explanation for being out of touch is entirely satisfactory.
Jack said he was trying to avoid detection. What are you suggesting?
There's too many unusual circumstances at work here. I want to try and understand it better before we send our people in.
Oh, man. Come on, kid. Come on, Rudy.
To what end?
Thoroughness.
Don't be such a bureaucrat.
The call is just the raw transcripts will be fine.
Fine, I'll send them to you.
Thank you.
Curtis is on line 3.
Why can't he be on line 2? Curtis is always...
1 and 2 are busy.
Any complications?
No.
We're all set. Just make your mind up. You keep telling us to go in this way and then that way.
Good. Stay on the line with me until we give the go.
All right, Bill, copy.
I love all this stuff that we never write in. This is like a perfect example of the stuff Mike was talking about before, these action scenes. We just write that they're getting ready in a room and these guys have wires and cables and techno equipment.
It's there. My reaction to this show is sometimes it's more real than I wanted it to be. It comes out, it scares me when I watch the show.
Right.
I didn't mean it to be that scary.
Yeah.
They do too good a job.
Yeah. I understand and I don't want to slow you down, but I'd appreciate it. Again, Sean's music is pulsating all the way through. It's not even scored. It's just like a what we call a pad. It's just a low pulse all the way through.
I think that's the construction next door that you're hearing.
That's good too.
They're pounding right now. That's being picked up by our mics.
He usually loses about 20% of his staff in the first couple of days after taking control of a new office.
That many people quit?
No, most of them are fired.
That was an added scene, just sort of to give Sean Astin some character. Background, a little background.
My responsible powers is the surest guarantee of global peace. But let this...
Look at him. You just put the camera on this guy. He doesn't say a word. And you are absolutely riveted. In their commitment to fight... What's he thinking? Of peace and... Nothing good. Meanwhile, back at the airport.
Jack's getting a cramp in his left calf.
He's dead. He killed himself. We found him in the baggage room.
What about the key card?
Shevinsky had it hidden right where he said he would.
Round up your men.
That's the moment where the arc, as Joel calls it, that fuels our next few episodes.
Jack
begins.
Realizes something else is going on besides just a simple hostage taking.
You and you. Not the hostages. Kill anyone who tries to break away.
He said that a little louder just so they'd hear it.
Okay. Oh,
there
look.
It is.
Hello. I'll take that.
I have a yellow tie, and I'll take that.
Yep. Character was called Yellow Tie Man before he had a name. And Jack Bauer is all over it.
That's an act ender, if I've ever seen one.
And you've seen many.
The Black Knight is broken by the dawning of the light.
Meanwhile, they're still giving their speeches.
Okay, now we're back right on the pulse. Chuck Kelly's just picking everything up, just keeping it all unified with that one pulse.
Curtis.
Jack, I'm entering place.
Okay, now remember, I am in a flank two position.
Flank two position. Make sure you get it?
He said it three times. I think we know it.
So, it's a flank six position already.
Jack.
Yeah.
Move it at your discretion.
Roger Cross, the actor who plays Curtis, is just rock solid. I mean.
Yeah. He's so believable. So strong in the action, especially. You know, very physical guy. He's like a tremendous beach volleyball player. Great athlete. Really, besides being a great actor, just really moves well for the action of the show, which is so important. Uh-oh. Something's counting down. That can't be good. Meanwhile, here comes Rudy.
Finally.
Breaking tackles.
What are you talking about?
They're walking into a trap. Look at the transcript. When Jack issued the command directive, he used the term flank two.
Yes, he was trying to give us his position inside the terminal.
No, he wasn't. Flank two is a duress code used to indicate the agent is communicating under duress.
We ran Jack's calls through a protocol filter. If there'd been a duress signal in there, we would have found it.
You filtered for the current codes. When Jack was active, flank two is a duress code.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You aren't so young after all.
Jack is trying to tell us he's being used to send misinformation. If Curtis Manning's team's going now, they'll be ambushed.
He's right.
Okay. Again? Isn't this second or third time? He's probably getting really tired of stopping his attack.
We have to assume the terrorists are feeding him the information he gave us. Redeploy your men according to the original assault plan, and do not contact Jack. If Jack contacts you, buy time.
Copy that. We're moving.
You're going to outflank the terrorists?
Yes.
That should work.
As long as you don't have to go.
Position for entry through the east and north gates. Plan Bravo, repeat.
Plan Bravo through the east and north gates. Go!
Acknowledge. Redeploy protocol one.
What's happening?
Ma'am, I need you to step back to the vehicle. Now.
We air on Sunday and Monday night, the four-hour premiere, and this was the fourth hour and the 1 hour that was actually in our time slot, which is Monday night. And we just wanted to make sure that these four episodes really set up the season well. And so I would say the pressure was for the first four. After this, the shows kind of suck, but these first four were really good.
What's happening? There was a malfunction on the
engine. Do you know that 10 years ago you couldn't point a gun at a guy's head on TV? And that's all changed.
Progress.
Anything goes. Yeah.
They're in position.
They're in position. Okay. Let's see. What's going to happen now? He's going to run. They're going to get ready.
He's going to make an expression, furrowing his brow.
He's going to get ready to sign the treaty. He's going to lick his lips. This guy's going to be there, and people are going to go, who's he? Here's the menu. They're going to order first. They're going to have a little lunch first.
Don't forget to check what kind of bread you want.
Is it done?
Is it done? No.
CTU hasn't attacked yet. You said it would happen before the signing. And you told me the president...
These guys are arguing now about whose fault it was that people aren't getting blown up in time.
Oh, God. All right. Here we go. This is the moment. You have no choice. 31 minutes in. Pen to paper. It's time for an explosion. All right. I think there's a really cool thing here, how Jack gets out of his restraint. Whoa. Excuse me? All right, man. Come on, Jack. There you go.
You know what we
did? Yeah, there he is. He gets that out. Yeah.
You know it was...
There it is.
Gerald, do you remember
piece
how...
piece of floss holding his hands together, yeah?
How, for the first couple drafts of this show, one of the biggest things is who... Oops, not going to kill yourself today. One of the biggest things is who's going to sacrifice themselves to go in to fake out the terrorists to make them think that they're falling for the gag. There was... It's hard to say, but someone was supposed to sacrifice themselves, and that was...
It's hard to listen to.
I know. That's why we threw it away.
You okay?
Yeah.
We secured the terminal. Besides the hostiles, there appears to be
no further casualties. Repeat, the remaining hostages are unharmed.
Good work, Curtis.
Good work.
Good.
Good.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
Good work. We don't have to do any more episodes because we're done.
I think everything's fine.
Whisper in his ear. Everything's good.
Happy, happy, nice. I'm a hero. Hang on. Let me take some credit for something.
I have some good news. I have just received word that the crisis at the Ontario airport is over. The rescue operation that I authorized was successful. The terrorists have been captured or killed. And best of all, this has all been accomplished
under my authority. Because of me.
Excuse me, agent. My name is Jack Bauer.
I know who you are, sir.
Can I use your pick?
He knows who he is because he watches 24.
This is Derek Huxley. His mother is waiting for him at the command post. Can you please take him there? Of course.
Yeah. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's got a guitar lesson. He's got to get out of here. All right. Sorry, I almost strangled you about a half hour ago.
I have to finish this. Take care of your mother. Okay. Go.
Beautiful shot. Rodney Charters, our DP, making everything look spectacular all the time since episode 2 of the first season.
Missing one.
Everybody, I need your attention. We're looking for a man who is being held here with you.
Here's something that happens in a real-time show that doesn't happen in a regular show. In a regular show, that action scene would end the show. On 24, you have to end the show about 10 minutes earlier. This story is really over. Now we're just getting ready to ramp up the show for the next arc. So that which normally ends a typical show for us is about 3/4 of the way through, which is kind of dangerous because you've built up the show to this big crescendo and, you know, you've got this great climax and then it has to reset itself.
This is where it helps if you've got good character relationships that are interesting independent of the action. mm-hmm. that you can play one or two of those moments.
And they're unresolved too. So, I mean, we get to resolve this and play this out. But obviously, the whole question remains, what's these two characters' relationship to Jack Bauer going to be like, you know, from this point forward?
I need you and your son to follow me.
Can I see Jack Bauer?
I'm sorry. I have instructions to transport you to CTU. Just wait, please.
Beautiful music. Beautiful handshakes. Nice suit.
Thank you.
Watch your step.
Sweetheart, smile. It's over.
Charles, I just need a few minutes alone with you.
Yes, soon.
No, not soon. Right now. This is very important.
Martha, when I'm done with this, I'll call for you.
After four episodes, we'll go, okay, we got to reset it now. Let's follow Yellow Tie Man and see what he does. And we'll do that for about four episodes. And then you start over and you link them together as much as you can.
Not only that, we don't necessarily know which one of our characters is going to turn out to be a mole. Or bad. Yeah.
You know.
We'll write a character genuinely as they are at face value, the president, the advisor, and if after several weeks, several episodes of writing, it serves us well to turn that person into someone who has had an agenda all this time and we can get away with it, we'll do it.
In what situation is that?
I'm sorry, Walt. I can only talk to Charles about this.
She's got the proof in her dress,
in her
right?
blouse.
Yeah. And he wants it. Here's the great Mary Lynn, who came on the show in the second season. Was it second season or third season?
Good, thank you.
Third. Because I think...
Third, fourth,
Rayko fifth. Ellsworth came on two, and I don't think she was on at the same...
Oh, no, she wasn't. When was Chase? Three. Well, anyway, she came in with a very generic role, and that's another example of an actress whose sheer force of her personality and her talent created a character and caused us to write to it. And she's sort of our female Napoleon Dynamite.
I assume Mr. Bauer's been taken into custody?
Well, I plan to debrief him here, but not as a suspect.
Well, he hasn't been officially cleared in the deaths of David Palmer or Michelle Dessler.
Well, based on mitigating evidence in Chloe O'Brien's testimony, we're confident that Jack was framed for those murders.
I appreciate that, but it still doesn't change a very tangled situation. I mean, we have surveillance footage that places Jack Bauer at the site of David Palmer's assassination.
Kim came on in season four to be a love interest for the season, and she did such a good job that we kept her storyline going. I mean, she really just lends so much sort of class and intelligence to that part and then to the show by association. So we really felt that she and Jack really still had so much unresolved stuff once he came back from being quote-unquote dead.
It's good to see you again. It's good to see you.
It makes the writer's job easier when you can bring back a character who has emotional connections to Jack, because they only have to say two or three words or give a look, and it means a lot.
Right. I mean, clearly the anti-terrorism aspect is a huge part of the show, but the emotional state of Jack Bauer is one of the first things we discuss each season, not like what kind of bomb or chemical weapon or nerve gas is going to be released, but each season it starts with Jack's state of mind. And the first season was he was trying to get back with his family. Second season, he was trying to reunite with his daughter. Third season, he was paying the price of his job. He was a heroin addict and his life sort of failed on some level. Fourth season, he was trying to start a new life with Audrey. So that really kind of separates the show from just a straight-ahead action anti-terrorist genre show. And I think people like that.
Where have you been?
We had a problem with Chavinsky.
Where is he?
Dead.
You have the key?
This is what I was saying. When you see bright light, it looks so different. This is typically what our show looks like. He's happy. He's about to show him something that's going to make his boss happy.
This is another one of those examples where the production designers and directors really figured it out.
Right. We didn't write any of this stuff.
Mas.
I remember Kassar coming in and telling me, this is how it's going to look. So you're going to have to change. It's going to be a hole in the ground. And
right.
It's going to be a big
mess.
And
that looks scary. Randy, our prop guy, designed these, and he probably did them in conjunction with our production design department, but they just had to look real scary, you know? And they do, you know? That can't be good.
It's okay, we can take off the masks. There's probably no leaking poison.
Do you have the merchandise?
Yes, we're moving the canisters out now.
Good. Transportation's been arranged. Call me when you're out.
I will.
Here's our signature shrink down. Jack Bauer is being led away. Walking tall. Under arrest.
So this is the lingo. We call it, this is going to be the shrink down, shrink to boxes, and then there's the pop out. This is the pop out. Pop-out's always got to be a big scene, a scene that
gets you to the next week.
Promises something spectacular next week.
This will be remembered as a significant day for President Logan, perhaps a turning point in what has been up until now a fairly unremarkable...
Evelyn, did you get a chance to speak to my husband?
Ouch.
I think he should have worn a mask just in case she turned around, but
he didn't.
He didn't.
I was going to
Zorro thing.
A Batman cape.
Yeah, something.
Okay.
Okay, this is what I was looking for.
Thank you. Oh, man.
He's got some problems to deal with at this point, I'd say.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Signing off.
It's always fun watching the show.